Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
Let me give you a very warm and sincere welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to this Let the Bible Speak broadcast. Thank you very much for joining with us and for your support of our services over this past while. I trust tonight that the Lord will encourage you and bless the preaching of the Word of God to your heart, and above all that the Lord will meet you personally at the point of your spiritual need. Just want to turn to the Word of God, to 2 Corinthians chapter 9, breaking in at the chapter at verse 8. This Bible reading in its context is all to do with Christian giving. And we think of giving and receiving. We think of the certain seasons in the year when you receive a gift and you give a gift. And we always are reminded of the greatest gift of all, which is the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The Apostle Paul here in the chapter is exhorting believers to fulfill their promise to give to the poor saints at Jerusalem. And all the while he was thinking of Christian giving, it always his eye upon the God of heaven and the Lord's giving of his Son for our salvation. So we break in at the chapter, at the verse 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let us all hear the word of the Lord. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgiving unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Amen. We know the Lord will indeed bless the public reading of his own precious and infallible word. We're going to seek the Lord's face in prayer and ask for God's blessing upon the preaching of his word. Our gracious and our eternal loving Heavenly Father, it is with thanksgiving that we enter into thy most holy and sacred presence. And what a privilege it is to come before thee, the thrice holy God of heaven and earth, through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the sole King and the only head of the church. We thank thee that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We do not come in our own righteousness. We do not stand upon ceremony, or we do not come through the name of any denomination. We're not coming, O God, in any righteousness that we have established, but we stand upon the finished work of Christ. We enter heaven itself by faith in the blood of the Lamb. And as we approach unto thee, we thank thee that there's one at thy right hand who is our living Saviour. We thank thee, our Father and God, for thy love for each one of thy dear children. We thank thee, Lord, for the privileges that we have as sons and daughters of God, this right of approach unto thee, and we can take everything to the Lord in prayer. We want to thank thee afresh for so great salvation. We thank thee for the person and for the work of thy dear Son. We rejoice in all that he has suffered. We thank thee that he endured the cross and despised the shame, and now he's set down at the right hand of the Father. We rejoice he's the only Saviour, having finished the work of redemption, having suffered and bled and died and rose again from the dead. He's alive forevermore, and in his precious name we humbly ask that you will receive of our thanks. We thank thee for God's love gift. We thank thee for the birth of Christ. We thank thee for his coming into this world. We thank thee that he lived a sinlessly perfect life. And we rejoice that the virgin-born Son of Mary is the Son of the living God. And he gave himself to untold sorrows and sufferings at Calvary. There he endured the wrath of God upon the sins of all his people. And he paid the price for that sin, death itself. In the shedding of his blood, he has poured out his lovely, sinlessly perfect life for sinners like us, and we rejoice that he cried, "It is finished, the work is accomplished." We rejoice in a risen Saviour, and we thank thee for the one who's freely offered in the gospel. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So bless now the preaching of thy word, and Father, we pray that in answer to prayer, it'll please thee to save the lost, restore the backslidden, revive the church, and glorify thy dear Son. We ask these things, believing with thanksgiving, in his precious and worthy name. Amen. I want to draw your attention to the words of the Apostle Paul, penned under inspiration in 2 Corinthians and the chapter 9, verse 15. Whenever he exclaimed, "Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Tremendous text of Scripture. It's in relation, obviously, to Christian giving and ultimately the giving of God in love to a sinful, fallen world. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. In this ninth chapter of 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul is dealing with the subject of the grace of Christian giving. He first praised the Corinthian believers for their generous spirit in that regard, and then he encouraged them to continue their sacrificial giving because it adorns and epitomizes the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All the while Paul was speaking of Christian giving and of the church distributing to the need of the poor, he also had an eye upon the God of heaven and the great gift to a lost world. That is, he was focused on Christ, God's love gift to sinners throughout the earth. A love gift that was given to the world that's undeserving. A love gift that literally focuses upon the Son of God who gave his life for us at Calvary. Paul's argument for Christian giving climaxes, I believe, in this chapter with the highest motivation for all giving, that is the unspeakable gift that God has given to us in the person and through the work of his only begotten and well-beloved Son. We recognize in these days when we live in a cheerless world, a world that's given over to perhaps depression, that even at this time of the year, some are feeling the financial pinch, and yet they realize that they have to give and give an expression of their love to their family and to their friends. But here's a wonderful thing, that God himself gave everything when he gave his Son. Christ came into this world as God's love gift. Christ came into this world by virgin birth. He was born as a man and dwelt amongst men. He who was God, the creator of the ends of the earth, entered into the virgin's womb and was born as a man and dwelt amongst men. He was bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. He was deity veiled in our humanity. And he entered into this world in order that he would die on the cross. And God would give his Son to untold sorrow and suffering at the place called Calvary. Now there's no one in heaven or earth could give more than God did when he gave the darling of his bosom, his well-beloved and his only begotten Son. And he gave him to untold sorrow and sufferings on the cross for our salvation. Now, the love and grace, the benevolence and the mercy and the compassion of the Lord in providing salvation from sin, death and eternal hell for guilty sinners like us far exceeds, we believe, the giving of anyone else in this world, no matter what they have done. I want to say that Christ purchased at highest cost the gift of eternal life. He offers now freely to all who will repent and believe eternal life and peace with God and the forgiveness of our sins. God's gift, God's love gift, purchased by Christ at highest cost, eternal life, is offered freely. In fact, Paul describes it, and he can't really find words in Hebrew or Greek to express the gift of God. And he says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable. What words could we find to describe the love of God in giving Christ to this world in order that we might be saved? Johnson Oatman Jr. penned many great hymns, and he penned that great hymn. And he's asked the question, was e'er a gift like the Savior given? No, not one. No, not one. At this time of the year when many are focused on giving and receiving, let me remind you of the nature and of the provision of God's unspeakable gift to a lost mankind. I want you to think firstly of this gift, that it is an expensive gift. Now when we give to others, and we all have to hold our hands up here and tell the truth and be honest, when we're giving to others, we have a budget. We're not going to spend all that we have on someone we don't really know. Whether it's family or friends, let's be honest, we have a budget. There's a certain amount we were willing to spend on a loved one, and that certainly would exceed anything we would spend on our friends, no doubt. Our wives and our children surely must get more than some of our friends, some of our neighbours or our work colleagues or some other individuals. But you know, not so with God. For no expense is spared. God hasn't a budget for you or for me. In other words, to provide salvation and eternal life for sinners, and that gift of forgiveness of sin and peace with God through faith alone in Christ alone, the Lord himself came into this world and he paid the ultimate price. There was no expense spared. Everything that heaven could afford was given for the salvation of all who repent and believe. The Bible tells us that Christ paid the supreme price to save us from our sin and to bring us to God. In fact, that price was the sorrows and suffering and the substitutionary nature and sacrifice of the cross. Isaiah puts it like this: he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That's the price Christ was willing to pay. And I want to say this to you, friend. The Lord Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary shed his life's blood. Did you ever think of that? He shed his life's blood to pay the price of our sin. And through the suffering of the Son of God, as he stood in the room and stead of the guilty sinner, he took the wrath of God and he paid the supreme price. The penalty was death, and Christ died for the ungodly. And all who repent of their sin and all who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, God freely bestows pardon and deliverance from sin, from death and from eternal hell. I wonder, have you turned from your sin? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ? Has there been a time in your life whenever you accepted and you received Christ into your heart and into your life as your own and personal Savior? You think of the price that was paid for redemption and for the salvation of sinners. You think of the expense that there was there in that terminology. You think of what God was willing to give in order that you and I might be saved from our sin and be sure of heaven whenever we die or the Lord returns again. Was there a gift like the Savior given? No, not one. No, not one. And that gift, my friend, even though it was expensive and it cost Christ his life in death, is offered freely to all who will believe, all who will repent, and all who will come by faith to the Son of God and the Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. It was not only an expensive gift, but can I say secondly, that it was also an expressive gift. You see, God's wonderful gift of his Son for sinners was expressive of his unconditional love. We don't give strangers gifts. We don't just stop people on the street and say, "We want to give you something." No, we have an interest in someone. We have a concern. We have a love for someone. We have a care for someone. They're related to us. We know them. We're friendly with them. And generally, that's who we give gifts to. But God's wonderful gift was for sinners. It was for the undeserving. It was for those who really did not earn nor merit, nor did they in any way deserve that gift. And the Lord gave his Son to the sufferings and sorrows of Calvary, that sinners like you and I might be saved. Paul calls it God commending his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. John 3:16, that well-known verse, tells us, "For God so loved." Think of it. So loved. That gift is expressive of the love that God has for sinners. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The Apostle Paul sums up that gift and that love like this: Christ loved us and gave himself for us. John tells us, here's a wonderful statement, herein is love. You can look across this earth, the sacrifices that men and women and young people and boys and girls have made in this world of ours from the beginning of time till now. And yet John could look at all mankind and say, herein is true love. God sent his Son. And at this time of the year, we think of Christ coming into the world. We think of God coming veiled in human flesh. In our humanity, in order that we might be saved from our sin, God's love is expressed at Calvary. You know, behind every human gift, there are certain things to consider. I believe there's a thought behind it. And oft times we often say when we get a poor gift, at least the thought is there. Behind that gift as well is the person who gave it. Behind that gift, no doubt, is the price that was paid for it. And behind that gift is perhaps the provision that was met by it. But when it comes to the Lord and you take all of those human characteristics of giving and you apply them to the infinite and eternal God, we could hardly give expression. Any wonder Paul says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. When it comes to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ and the gift of his so great salvation through faith in Christ alone, it is expressive of his great love for sinners, his willingness to give his Son for our sins, and Christ's willingness, Christ's love, to come into this world and to suffer the wrath of God upon our sin as it was laid on his sinless, spotless, impeccable body. We think of how he suffered and bled and died for those sins, and the wonderful provision that God has made through the finished work and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ for guilty sinners. God's gift of his Son to a lost and a dying world reveals to us, and it declares to us, and it proclaims to the entire world given over to sin and misery, in a world that is cheerless, in a world that has no joy, no happiness, in a world that has no peace. We see in the love of God and the gift of his Son, there's hope, there's life, and there's eternal life. This is a love that has provided everything we need. You can hardly buy people a gift. Most people will say, I don't know what to get them. It seems that everyone has everything they need. And if you were to get them something, it doesn't seem that it really suits them. They don't really want it. And oft time money is given just as a substitute. But can I tell you something? That when God made provision, he made provision for the need of every single sinner in this world. And that is the need to have sins forgiven and peace with God through faith alone in Christ alone. I want to tell you that reveals a love that has provided a way of escape from sin and from death and judgment and hell. It is a gift that brings eternal life and forgiveness of sin and peace with God. Surely these things are priceless possessions money cannot buy. We don't earn it. A gift is given. We don't deserve it. A gift is given. We don't work for it. We don't merit it. It's freely offered, freely given. And it is an expensive gift. It cost Christ his life upon the cross. Can you refuse it? It is an expressive gift. A God of love and mercy, even though he's a God of righteousness, truth and judgment and holiness. Yet he's a God of benevolence and compassion. He's not like the false gods of this world who are gods of jealousy and envy and vengeance. He's the God of infinite mercy, love and compassion. And he has provided a way of escape for guilty sinners. If we will turn from our sin and take Christ as our own and personal Savior. This man receiveth sinners. And he invites you to come to him and take freely the gift of salvation. It's not only an expensive gift. It's not only an expressive gift, but consider thirdly that it is an eternal gift. Most gifts we receive at any time of the year do not last very long. They will eventually break. They will wear away. They will perish. Some people can steal them. We can lose them. But I want to tell you something. God's gift of salvation, purchased at highest cost at Calvary, expressive of his great love for sinners. I want to tell you, if you receive that gift and you're saved by God's sovereign grace, then you will never perish. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what he says in his holy word. John chapter 10 verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. For the wages of sin is death. That's what we earn. That's what we work for. That's what we deserve. The wages of sin is death, and it's hell, and it's judgment. But the gift of God is eternal life. Did you hear that? Eternal. That means it can never end. You can never lose it. And if the Lord Jesus Christ saves your soul and you come to Him as a guilty sinner and repent of your sin and accept the gift of salvation, He saves you and He keeps you. And listen to me, you will never perish. The Lord Jesus Christ, who says, I am the truth, He says that. That's the word of a gentleman. He cannot lie, He is God. He cannot deny Himself, and He says, I give unto them eternal life. You can lose many things in this world. You can lose your health and your wealth. You can lose your business. You can lose your family. You can lose your possessions. But you'll never lose God's salvation if you're saved by sovereign grace. Wouldn't it be a marvelous thing for you if you received by faith the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord? Can I say finally that it is an essential gift? There are many gifts we receive during this time of the year, and let's be honest, they're not essential. In other words, we simply do not need them. In other words, they're not truly needful. But here's one gift all mankind needs, and that is the gift of forgiveness of sin. It is the gift of eternal life and peace with God. It is the gift of assurance that it's well with your soul. And it was purchased at Calvary. And it's now offered freely to all who will repent of their sin and believe that the Lord Jesus Christ died for those sins on the cross. And repenting of their sin, they turn to Him and they confess those sins to Him and they ask Him to come into their heart and into their life to be their own and personal Savior. May you come to Christ. May you trust the Lord. May you repent and believe. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. May the Lord bless His word to all of our hearts. Let's bow briefly in prayer. Loving Father, we thank Thee for salvation. We thank Thee for the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We pray that Thou wouldst bless the preaching of the gospel and that precious souls for whom Christ suffered, bled and died and rose again and will receive the gift of eternal life, that they will come to Christ in repentance and faith and be saved by sovereign grace. May they be born of the Spirit and washed in the blood. We ask these things in Jesus' precious and worthy name. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.